What will happen to you when Jesus returns and brings heaven to earth? On today's PowerPoint, Pastor Jack Graham will show you exactly what the Bible says will take place when Christ sets up His rule and His reign right here on earth. You will not want to miss today's powerful program. So stay tuned. PowerPoint with Jack Graham begins right now.
All of us who are Christians, we want to know what heaven is like. Of course, we have questions that we can't answer. And we will never comprehend the greatness, the grandeur, the glory of heaven until we are actually there. And yet the Bible tells us what we need to know on a need-to-know basis. God gives us beautiful descriptions of the place called heaven and what heaven is like. In Revelation 21, the first five verses, and you're going to need to keep your Bibles open today because we're going to be looking at these scriptures one by one as best we can in the time that we have together. But the first five verses say this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself, get that, God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things are passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down.'" Get this. Don't miss this. "For these words are trustworthy and true." Not the speculations of men, the experiences of human beings, but the word of God. I want to so preach today to help you see just a little more of the greatness of our God and the glory of that place that He has prepared for us. First, in a new creation. He said, there will be a new heavens and a new earth. The earth and the atmosphere around the earth is the first heaven, the first of the heavens, the planetary, the space, the stars above us and beyond us. This is the second heaven. The third heaven is the throne of God, the place where God dwells, rules, and reigns. And so at the end of the age of this day and dimension as we know it, God is going to transform the heavens and the earth. That is, the universe around us, the heavens and the earth and the atmosphere all around it. He's not talking about the heaven of heavens, the throne room of God, but rather heavens and the earth. God will create a new universe for a new world and give us a brand new world order. This is not new information because Isaiah the prophet spoke of this much earlier, Isaiah 65, verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." We're often asked, are we going to remember our times on earth? And are we going to remember what happened on earth? I can't totally answer that question, but I do know the longer we're in eternity, the more earth and everything that happens here will be in the rearview mirror. Because we have something brand new, something far better. Jesus said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but by no means will my words pass away. This is the passing away of the old creation. This world as we know it will change. Our world is getting old. This globe is groaning under the curse of creation. It is like a clock running down. It is like a body wasting away. It is like an old garment that is to be discarded. It is not evolving, it is devolving. And how will this old earth and the heavens around it meet its end? How will the first heaven pass away? 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, we're going to put this on the screen for you, but you may want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. By the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist, talking about our contemporary world, what we now know, is stored for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Scientists will tell us that the elements, the building blocks, the atoms that form this world and everything in it are filled with fire, fueled with fire. This pulpit, filled with fire. The clothes you're wearing, fire. The atoms, the pew you're sitting on, this building, it's fire everywhere. The present atmosphere is stored with this fire. Our world is the picture really of an egg. And the shell of an egg that is then filled with fire. That's the picture that we have here. But in verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works that are done on it will be exposed. People talk about the world beginning with a big bang. It didn't begin with a big bang, but it's going to end with a big bang. And since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? How foolish to live for this world when it's all going up in smoke. This world is passing away and everything in it. Therefore, verse 12, what are we to be doing? Waiting for and hastening, looking forward to the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So John sees this brand new world. The word new is a word in the New Testament which means new of a different kind, new as to quality. It's the same word that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, everything has become new. When you become a follower of Jesus, your old life is done, and you have a brand new life in Christ. We're still in process. We're still under construction, but this new life is now in us. We have a brand new life, and if your life isn't new, you need the Lord. And so that's the word, a new heaven and new earth. Just as I'm the same me in one sense, I mean, I have the same body, but my body, my life, my spirit is being renewed day by day. So the old heavens and the old earth will be made brand new, absolutely different, and yet real. Literal. When you look at these symbols in the Revelation, and certainly these pictures of heaven, portraits of heaven, you may ask the question, is this literal? And I say, it's more than literal, because the pictures are only portrayals of the reality of what it is. So maybe you would rather use the word, is it real? And the answer is, yes, it's real. And God gives John and others who write of heaven words and vocabularies and just really ransacks the human understanding of things that are almost impossible to understand this side of eternity. So these symbols are beautiful and instructive and helpful as we think about heaven. In this new heaven and new earth, one of the first observations that John makes is that there is no more sea. Do you see that in verse 1 of Revelation 21? There is no more sea. 75% of the covering of the earth is water, sea, ocean. But interesting that John said, I didn't see the sea. In a very personal sense, this was so meaningful to John because John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, away from his family, away from his friends, away from the church that he loved. And the sea, the Aegean Sea, separated this man from all that it was dear to him. And so when he saw heaven, when he woke up in heaven, he said, no more separation. Heaven is a place of security and intimacy and familiarity. The ancients also viewed the sea as angry and beastly and deadly. Monsters, leviathans that rule the deep. So this picture of heaven where there is no more sea is a reminder to us that there's now no separation between us and our God. We are with him. And that, as we've been saying throughout, is what heaven is all about. It's not so much about what it looks like or what it is, streets of gold, gates of pearl, but the precious Savior who awaits us there. Our God, we desire to be with him, whom, as the scripture says, we love though we have not yet seen. A new creation, and then comes a new city, a prepared place. Man has built cities without God, but God builds a city not made with hands, whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Our cities are filled with crime and darkness, but this city is filled with light. We are pilgrims on a way to this city. The city that comes down from above in Revelation 21, verse 2, is the holy city. It is the new city of Jerusalem, just the capital city of the new heavens and the new earth. If you read the passage in front of you, you will discover that this is a mammoth, massive city. We don't have time this morning to measure the city, but you can actually measure the capital city, the holy Jerusalem, and don't worry about it. There's plenty of room for everyone. And in this place, this amazing city, we will live in the immediate, intimate presence of God. Who could fathom that? We will see him face to face, look into his eyes, and hold his nail-pierced hands and thank him forever for what he's done for us.
There are invisible forces at work in our world today. And they're not just up there somewhere in the sky. They're at work in your life and are behind every victory, defeat, blessing, and disappointment. And it can be hard to navigate your day-to-day life in light of forces you can't see. That's why Pastor Jack Graham wrote his latest book, Unseen. It gives you practical and biblical guidance to the supernatural world. And when you read it, you'll walk away enlightened about heaven and hell, good and evil, angels and demons. Unseen is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this PowerPoint TV broadcast. So call the number on your screen to request your copy today. We pray it encourages you in knowing that God will provide for you, he will protect you, and provide you the power for whatever lies ahead.
There will be an amazingly new condition. Everything's going to be new about this wonderful new heaven and new earth. He mentions some of the former things that will be no more. These familiar no mores. Verse 4 says, there is no more crying. No more tears. We come into this world crying. It's about the only thing we can do for ourselves starting out. But we spend our days crying, and we live crying and die crying. Over the years, I have prayed and watched over and led funeral services and tried to give comfort and counsel to those who are hurting and those who are crying. This is a world filled with tears, a trail of tears. But in that place, God will wipe away our tears. A nail-pierced hand will take away our tears. There will be no more weeping. Until that day, the scripture says, God puts our tears in a bottle. He already knows. He already cares. Jesus cares when you hurt, when you're in pain. God knows. God understands. But one of these days, every little tear, he's going to wipe away. No more tears. No more death. Death is universal. That means it includes all of us. But the reason that we dread death is because death is so unnatural. We were made to live. We were created for eternity. But something has happened that has injected death into the human experience, and that something is sin, the consequences of sin and man's rebellion against God. So in heaven, death is destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The last enemy. Revelation 20:14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death is universal, it is unnatural, it is certain, it is inevitable, but there is no death in heaven. No more grieving widows in heaven. No more funeral services and long processions to the grave. No more dark, lonely nights because death has taken away someone that we have loved with all of our hearts. No more tombstones, no more gravestones on the hillsides of heaven. It doesn't exist. Amen? No more pain. Think about the pain people go through, emotional pain, physical pain, relational pain. Some of you are in pain today. What doesn't hurt doesn't work, probably. No more pain. No more regrets. No failures. No pain of any kind. When we get to heaven, the blind will see the vision of our great God. The lame, the crippled, the disabled, the paralyzed will be leaping and dancing and praising God. The deaf will hear the great praises to God. The wounded will be made whole. A perfect place for God's people. Verses 5 and 6, the future things. In an instant, everything will become new, and we'll move into this brand new world. So the question is, what is it like? Once we get there, what is heaven is like? Well, it is as everything that God intended it to be. That's what it will be like. People ask, what are we going to do? We will serve Him night and day. We will share fellowship in heaven, first with Christ, as we noted, and most importantly with Him. We will be with the one that we have loved, but not only with Christ, but of course we will be with our loved ones and our friends who are there before us and who will come after us, united in Christ. As the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4, together with the Lord. we will be caught up in the clouds with the Lord together forever with our loved ones and our friends. The question is often asked, of course, will we know one another in heaven? And the answer is we won't really know one another until we get to heaven. Then we will know even as we are known. We will laugh and celebrate in heaven. There will be no more tears in heaven, but much laughter, much joy. At thy right hand, the psalmist said, is fullness of joy. At thy throne, pleasures forevermore. The gladness and the glory of heaven will cause us to celebrate forever and ever and ever. The Bible tells us that we'll be resting in heaven. Revelation 14, 13 says, blessed, happy are they. That's another happy word. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. Yes, forever they will rest and their works do follow them. Now here, resting is not sitting in a rocking chair and wasting eternity away. But the idea of resting here is the same idea in which Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. In this world, we are restless. There is stress. There is pressure. There is striving. There is struggle. It's a part of the whole curse thing. But in heaven, we will be at peace. We will be at rest. Not wringing our hands with worries and fears. We will be delivered from life's burdens, carrying that heavy weight around, because we will be at rest. So therefore, because heaven is so real and because heaven is so dazzlingly, so wonderful, it is so glorious, how should we respond? What is this word to us? Let me wrap it up by saying this. This is a word of encouragement. Strong word, encouragement, to give courage, comfort. Strong word, to give fortitude, comfort. To give fortitude, comfort one another with these words. Jesus said regarding our future in the Father's house, he said, therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. The hope of heaven, the promise of heaven, gives us the strength to endure. During hard days and tough times, when life is hard, when we're disappointed, when a relationship is broken, when a dream dies, when our body is tired, when the night is sleepless and long, that we may endure because of the promise of heaven. When aging is catching up with you, it's an encouragement to know that a better day is coming. It's on the way. We're to live as this were to be the last day on earth, because it could be our last day. But our future is so bright, and therefore we live each day in view of eternity with purpose, and we live with a passion for Christ that produces a renewed righteousness and devotion to spiritual matters, developing our walk with Christ. Second word, this message should bring to you a word regarding evangelism. The good news is that there is a heaven, that Jesus has provided the pathway into the presence of God by his cross and through his resurrection, and that the whole world needs to hear that story, that good news of Christ. One of the greatest evangelism tools that we can use is to remind people that you're going to stand before God one day. Everybody knows they're going to die if they really stop to think about it. And let me tell you another little secret, including the hardest, most difficult of your friends, your buddies. Everybody's afraid to die. When I preached the message on hell several weekends ago, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, we were so moved by the prospect that our loved ones, our family members, our friends are on their way to hell, that we went immediately and shared the good news with our friends, with our family members. You see, heaven, the hope of heaven, is a powerful incentive for us to share Christ. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And one other final word. It's a word regarding examination. Do you know that you're going to heaven? The scripture says, let every person examine his own heart. Test your own faith. Are you sure? Because this same passage that talks about heaven speaks of those who are excluded, starting with the unbelieving and the cowardly who deny Christ. There is a judgment coming, a great, terrible judgment. The lost will be condemned, and only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will go to heaven. You must do more than just die to go to heaven. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? You say, how do I get my name there? By repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior and Lord. The one and only one who died for you and rose again and who now has ascended and is coming again. This same Jesus, the one who is the Alpha and Omega described here, who is upon the throne of the ages, the Ancient of Days, the one who has provided this one and only pathway. I am the way, the truth, the life. Settle this. Do you know? You must know. Not just think so or maybe so. Do you know that you're going to heaven? If not, settle that question today.
Heaven is the most amazing, beautiful, joy-filled place that you could possibly imagine. And the Bible promises that all who have faith in Jesus Christ will not perish in hell, but spend eternal life in heaven with Him. If you're unsure about where you're going to be spending eternity, if you don't know for certain that you're going to heaven, or you're concerned for a friend or a family member who's away from God, we'd love to connect with you, pray with you, and help you. So please call or reach us online and let us know how we can help. Say, have you ordered my new book, Unseen Yet? It will amaze you to understand the invisible world that surrounds all of us, the unseen world. So many Christians are uncomfortable talking about it, but I think it's time that we realize what the Bible says about angels and demons and a world that we can't see with our physical eyes, the world of the supernatural. Order this book, Unseen, today. I promise you, it will have a huge impact on your walk with Christ. Thanks for joining us. I invite you to tune in next time right here on PowerPoint.